On our morning show get-together today from WRCO, we have in the studio Lieutenant Mike Siz from the Richland County Sheriff's Department. Good to have him in here to keep law and order during our morning show. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. I think, are you a first-time guest here on the program?
I think I was here for one other thing, probably promoting canines. Okay. But yeah, one other time, so this is my second.
Okay, and you have an event coming up here to talk about as far as the benefit is concerned for the canines.
Yep, yeah, I'm here to promote, we're having a canine fundraiser coming up. It's called the Cosmic K9 Pin Tap Fundraiser. So to kind of break that down a little bit, it's a 9-pin tap tournament here at the Phoenix Center in town. We're going to do the cosmic bowling. So it's, you know, turn on the black lights and kind of get a cool atmosphere in there. It's February 23rd. So it's a Sunday in February. There should be nothing going on. It's after football season.
After the Packers win the Super Bowl.
You can come celebrate that. It's at 11 a.m. So, yeah, we're doing it to raise some funds for our canine units for both the county and the city of Richland Center. And it's $100 per four-person team. And any other donations are welcome. So we hope to see a lot of the community members out.
We have other prizes and door prizes there
too? Yeah, yep. So we're going to do some 50-50 raffles, some bucket raffles. We're going to be contacting local businesses in the next couple weeks looking for donations. Anything that they would like to bring along, we'll have bucket raffles for that. We also, if you sign up as a team, you'll get put into a separate drawing for a gun. So that'll be a gun drawing. So that's kind of cool. And then there will also be cash prizes for the top teams. So the top three bowling teams will receive cash prizes, and then also the top high series. And luckily, the Phoenix Center will be computing all those numbers because I don't know a lot about that. But and it will be. It's not a scratch tournament. Apparently, that's important for some bowlers who are real serious about it. They will factor in handicaps and stuff like that. So I think that makes it a little more even for everybody that wants to show up and play.
Can you tell us why this is an important thing for the canine units?
Yeah, absolutely. So I no longer have a canine. I used to handle Canine Rambo for about 8 years. So I'm still very passionate about the program. We tell people all the time during demonstrations and anytime we get out in the public that if it weren't for our community, we wouldn't be allowed to have these great tools, the canines. They are completely run off of donations from the public, and we've been fortunate enough to receive enough of those donations to get several dogs in our county. So what we're doing this fundraiser for is for ongoing maintenance of the dogs, equipment, trainings that we want to send our handlers and our canines to. So it's very important to have the community come out. It's also a really great community policing opportunity for us. We at the sheriff's office like to have events where the community can come out and we can be transparent about what we're doing. You know, they can meet the dogs, they can meet us, you know, just they can understand that police are just normal people as well. We can connect with the community and have a good time and raise some money doing it. So
the different canines that we have now. So we have three of them in the area then?
Yes, we have two at the county and then kind of one and a half at the city. So there's Canine Teddy and then Lucy, who's a bloodhound who's sent specific for man tracking so she can find people.
Okay. So yeah, that was my next question. The expertise of the dogs, they all have their kind of their own area, don't they, that they're good at?
Yeah, well, so the three dogs that we have, the two at the county, we have Canine Aaron and Canine Raven. And then at the city, there's Canine Teddy. And those three dogs are dual-purpose police canines. So seemingly what that is that they are trained in a variety of different aspects, whether that's narcotics detection, tracking, you know, article searches, and apprehension. So there are some, you know, traits of the dogs where they can do different things better, but they are all trained in the same aspects. Now, where Lucy is different or, you know, unique is that she is just trained on scent of a human. So she can track and locate people. Maybe sometimes when longer durations have gone by from when that person went missing, I think up to 24 hours in some instances. So that's a really good tool to have. But yeah, the dogs are incredible. And like I said, I think one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about this is that I've worked with a dog for so long and I've just seen how useful of a tool they are. So, but with that comes a price tag. It's expensive. So.
It is. And well, how is Rambo doing, by the way?
Rambo's doing great. So, a lot of people ask me, you know, what happened with him when he retired. luckily they get to retire with us. So when Rambo served his 8 years, he was still very healthy and probably could have worked another couple years. But with my position being lieutenant, was more of an administrative office job. So we decided that it was time to retire him and start a new dog on the road. But he's great. This time of the year, it's hard because it's so cold out. He doesn't get outside a lot, obviously, but he's still got all the energy in the world. He gets to be a little lazier now. You know, he gets some table scraps and extra milk bones and stuff like that. So he's enjoying retirement, but yeah, he's doing great.
He draws Social Security then, does he?
I wish. I mean, that'd be great. That would be great.
But he becomes, I mean, he's always been a member of the family, but
right.
But even more so, he can probably be with the family now,
yep,
too.
Yep, right? And that's one of the reasons that we take pride in the kennel that we go to, which is Von Lick Kennels down in Indiana. Their motto is strong social police dogs. So we like the aspect of when they're not working, they can kind of turn off that police dog side of it, and they can become that family dog. So yeah, I mean, with him not training anymore with the apprehensions and stuff, I think we're a little more comfortable having him around the family and around the public. And yeah, he's doing really well. He's a very nice dog. He enjoys belly rubs just like anybody else.
I bet.
Yeah.
But you talked about the expense, and I know Rambo had a health crisis some years ago. Yep. And it's not cheap when something like that happens, is it?
Yeah, that's correct. So we are fortunate enough, both us with the county and with the city, where we have purchased our dogs already. So we currently have two younger dogs at the county, and as well with the city. And so we're probably not going to need to use this money to purchase another dog in the recent future. But what we will need it for, again, like you mentioned, is medical expenses. We had an unforeseen medical expense with Canine Rambo, and it cost upwards of $6,000 to rush him to Madison for emergency veterinary care. And it's just stuff like that. We want to be able to take care of our dogs and fix them when they're needed to. I will say we currently already have several different businesses in the area that donate to us. Like Pine River Vet has donated since the life of, I think even before Rambo, with Canine Titan. But that's just preventative care, which is great. But when we do have an emergency that comes up, we need that kind of fund there with money in it to address those issues. You know, we, as far as food, we have Wyoming Saddle Company currently donates both of our canines. We've had Chet's Feed and Seed donate in the past. Several local businesses have always stepped up, as well as just normal citizens and other, you know, businesses to donate throughout. We just like to do this to kind of maintain that fund so that we can always keep money in it.
When you talk about training, Mike, then what are some of the training seminars that you go to?
Well, so it's interesting. So actually today we are hosting training for all the regional dogs. They'll be out at the campus. If you see several extra squad cars out there, we're lucky enough to use those buildings right now until they figure out what they're doing with them. So not only we train monthly with area canines to maintain the dogs and make sure they're doing well, one of the specific trainings that we like to send our canines to that they're not trained when they get out of their initial training is called scent-specific tracking. So what that seemingly is there's different philosophies on how dogs can track. One of them is crushed vegetation, meaning like if someone walks in an area, the dog can smell like the crushed grass and bugs and dirt that's kicked up. The one that we like to do and we've done a lot of research on is called scent-specific. So seemingly what we can do with that is we can go into an area, say there's a break-in or a burglary. We can find an article of clothing that person may have left behind. We can swab different areas that person may have touched. And we can, you know, show that to the dog. They can smell that, and then they can track only that scent. Same thing with missing children or missing people. If we can go to a residence and someone's missing a child, all we would need is an article of clothing. The dog can actually smell that, and then they can rule out any other scents and just follow that scent. So it's stuff like that. There's also trainings to help the canines work with our SWAT team or special response team. There's canine legal updates. So in this day and age, there's a lot of changing laws, and we like to stay current with all that because we don't want to violate anybody's rights or anything. So we not only send our dogs to trainings, we send the handlers to keep them up to date with what laws are current and what we can utilize our dog with.
I see. So a training like the one that's going on today, do you hide something in a building and let them go after it, or what do you do, Mike?
Yeah, so it can incorporate a whole lot of different things, and I explained a little bit about what the canines can do. So usually what it would consist of is we'll set out a bunch of hides of drug-scented items throughout a building, and we like to train in different types of buildings to get the dog exposed to different environments. So we'll do that. We'll let it sit for 15, 20 minutes, half hour, and then we'll run the canines on it, and you know, obviously we're hoping that they find all those hides. So it's just training and maintenance. As far as the article searches, it's kind of unique. We can find any item. I could take this pen. We do keys. We could do like a fake gun, you know, simulating something as far as a burglary or something. Toss it out in the grass, let it sit for a while, and then have the dog search and find that. We also have one of the more interesting ones is we'll have a volunteer or someone that works at our department put on the bite suit, and then we'll do what's called a building search. So we'll go hide them in a building, in a room way far down. We'll give our announcements, and then we'll send the dog. The dog uses its nose and its senses and goes and locates that person, and we'll apprehend them. So we can also do a little variation to that. We can put them behind a door, and we train the dog to bark and notify us that there's someone in that door. So we can move up to that point, make more announcements, and call that person out. So tracking is another thing. That's another nice, another plus about using the campus is that there's the land around it. So we can have someone take off and walk and simulate someone who disappeared. And then we can have the dogs follow that scent and go locate them.
If the person has the bite suit on, does the dog automatically bite them then when they find them, or do they go on your instruction, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, so there's different ways to do it. We give announcements at the door, and you give announcements, hey, the sheriff's department, we know you're in there, you're under arrest, come out now. We give several announcements, and at that point, once the dog gets released into the building, it's on at that point. There's no more turning back. So the dog is trained to find and apprehend that person, not to hurt them or kill them. They're usually trained to bite an extremity and then hold them there so that law enforcement can, you know, move up to that point and safely arrest them. Now, there are other instances where the officers are trained that if there might be other people in the building or there might be someone innocent in there, we're not going to send the dog. So there's several different times where we give opportunities for people to come out and give up. But yeah, once you're at that door and you send the dog, it's kind of over. Depending on your control of your dog, you can recall them sometimes, you know, so if you see the person gives up at the last second, you can call your dog back and then it wouldn't result in a bite. But yeah, at that point, you've had enough opportunities to come out. You should probably come out.
I don't want to be that person in the bite suit. I think that's like a scary version of hide and seek.
Isn't we could probably set that up if you would like to.
No.
I know Sheriff Porter sometimes during National Night Out, he'll put on the bite sleeve and he'll take some demonstration bites for the crowd, and they usually like that. It's amazing to see the power of these canines. They're a great tool.
I just can't believe, as you mentioned, you know, keys or a pen or anything, that they have that remarkable of a smell.
It's incredible. And that's actually one of the cool things that I still train Rambo with is, you know, he loves to work. All these dogs love to work. You make it fun for them. And sometimes at night, if it's nice out, I'll throw something out in my yard and give him his command, and he loves doing it. He goes over to it, he finds it, he gets his reward. He's just happy as can be. So it's incredible watching these dogs work, and I think that's why we're so passionate about keeping money in the account, is so that we can continue to have them. I might be a little biased, but I would like every single officer to have a canine. Obviously, that's not an option, but they're incredible animals.
A great tool, that's for sure.
They are.
So if you're the canine handler, you actually go and spend some time with the dog when you initially get the dog, right? You spend about a week or so with them?
It's actually 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So I can talk a little bit about pricing too in this and just how expensive they are. That's one of the questions that I usually start with my canine demonstrations or when I used to do them. And it's about $20,000, an initial start to purchase the canine. That also includes your first 6 weeks of training and lodging and all that stuff. So once the canine is purchased, we go down there and select the dog. So they'll usually have five or six dogs that are ready. They've been kind of training them prior to us getting there. and they will demonstrate what they can do. We select the dog that we feel has done the best, obviously. And then, yeah, our handler goes down to Indiana at Von Lick Kennels for 6 weeks. And it's more so training the handler on how to handle the dog, but also, you know, developing that partnership and that trust between the two and becoming a team. So, but it's long days. It's a lot of work. You're on your feet all day. You do 1 week of nights, and then you also do 1 week of, it's called bite week. So you kind of introduce them to that apprehension aspect of it, and you're decoying for your other guys that are in your class, their dogs. So you also get experience taking training bites and stuff like that. So
interesting.
Yeah.
The commands that you give them, are they in a foreign language?
Yes. Yep. So they're usually between Dutch, German, and Czech, I think are the three most common ones that you'll see. And obviously the reason for that is we don't want people in the public to be able to control the dogs. You know, not saying that people would, but if you tell your dog to do something, we don't want someone to be able to give it a command and say, stop. You know, he's chasing a suspect and the guy's like, no, stop. And the dog stops. So, yep, we usually, and it's funny because people are usually like, well, what language does your dog speak? And I'm like, well, my dog doesn't speak any language, but he understands Czech or German or Dutch. And they give us, and by no means am I fluent in these languages, they give us about 15 commands or words that we know, and we train the dog in that language.
Huh. Yeah. So if you're chasing a bad person that speaks Dutch, though, you know, or whatever, it could be an issue.
She might be SOL. I don't know. Yeah. That's a unique situation. So,
but it sounds like the dogs that we have in Richland Center and Richland County are kind of, for lack of a better term, jack of all trades. You know, they can do a lot of things. But are some dogs trained specifically for narcotics and others for tracking? Or how does that work, Mark?
Yeah. So you have the option. It's between a single-purpose dog and a dual-purpose dog. So there are some agencies in the area that have single-purpose dogs. Lancaster being one of them, they have a single-purpose narcotics dog. So that dog only locates drugs. And it's all dependent on the community you live in and what your needs are. We like to have the option at the sheriff's office and at the police department that if there is a dangerous situation, we at least have that backup there that we can use our canine for an apprehension. A lot of the times, it's the threat of it is that what works for us. We give the commands and people will come out of the house right away. They don't want anything to do with the dog. But you're absolutely right. You can have a dog specialize in just about anything. The three most common ones in law enforcement are your single purpose narcotics dogs, your dual purpose narcotics dogs. So that would be your narcotics, your apprehension. Yeah, and all those other things, tracking and whatever. And then you can also get bomb dogs. So you'll see that like up in Green Bay, they'll have bomb dogs that will go in Lambeau Field before Packer games. And some bigger agencies will have that. We obviously don't have much of a need for a bomb dog around this area. But yeah, they will specialize in things depending on where you go to or what your needs are. We like to have the canines that are dual purpose, and they're kind of jack of all trades, and it's kind of up to the handler to keep them proficient with each one of their, you know, things that they do. So
you mentioned Lancaster, that would be in Grant County, but do you get called out to help other counties from time to time?
Yeah. So we have a great relationship with our surrounding counties, and part of that is because of these monthly trainings. So we host a monthly training, and we kind of have our training group in Southwest Wisconsin. You know, it involves all of our surrounding counties and some of the municipalities within those. And like 1 month we'll host, the next month Sauk will host, the next month Vernon will host, and so on. But yes, there's always that aspect of a county might not have a canine working, right? So say we're in Richland County and maybe down by Lone Rock and someone's requesting a dog. If Richland County doesn't have a canine working, we can call Sauk County. We've got good relationships where they'll be like, yep, we'll be on our way. We'll be there in a little bit. If Sauk County can't come, we might try Iowa County and vice versa. When I used to run Canine Rambo, I went as far as Iowa County, kind of down by Traders, I think was one of the farthest I went, down by Boscobel over to Vernon County. So yeah, we kind of try to branch out and help each other out because, unfortunately we don't have as many as we would like, you know? So yeah.
Could you talk about, some success stories, that maybe you've experienced, using the dogs for the years?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know if I'll talk about any specifics, but obviously all areas have somewhat of a drug problem, right? So, It's better to just admit that and get these canines to try to fight that, right? So I think when I first started, it was like one of those, you know, pat on the backs to just find small amounts of drugs and get them out of vehicles and houses and schools. But throughout my career, when you start finding larger amounts and people who you know are dealing, you know, those are kind of the big trophies in your career of finding those types of things. We've also located missing children. I think that's obviously very important to us. You never want to have anybody go missing, especially a child, and not be able to find them. There's been a couple success stories where, you know, maybe children with autism got lost or weren't able to find their way back home, and we've located them. We've had some missing group home people that we've been called to where we've located. And then suspects. We've located suspects who have committed crimes and then they've fled from us, and we've located them as well. So, you know, we're ensuring to the public that that dangerous person is no longer on the street. So, and that's just for me. I know that, you know, Deputy Shilgin, Sergeant Gerber, and Officer Deneen have had their, you know, own triumphs in their careers, and it's great. I mean, it's good to see the canines succeed, and I'll say it over and over again, they're such a useful tool for us in law enforcement.
Right. We're all better off that we have them. We're going to take time out and come back and talk a little bit more with Lieutenant Mike Siz in a moment on today's morning show from WRCO.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
You can join WRCO-FM on Facebook. Get the latest news, sports, and more every day. Visit with our staff, hear about community events, see awesomely funny Throwback Thursday stories, get the latest news, weather, and sports, participate in upcoming Facebook-only contests, and more. Simply go to Facebook.com and search WRCO Radio or visit Facebook.com/WRCO-AM-FM. It's just that easy to connect with us from Facebook.com and WRCO-FM.
Get ready for some fun and support a great cause. The Richland Center Rodeo Committee is hosting its 11th annual 8-pin tap bowling tournament Sunday, January 12th at the Phoenix Center. Featuring two shifts, the first at 11 and the second at 2. The cost to bowl will be just $15, and you can sign up at the Phoenix Center now. This exciting tournament is a vital fundraiser for the Rodeo Committee as it gears up for the 2025 Rodeo Finals happening June 13th through the 15th at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Come out, have fun, and support the Richland Center Rodeo Committee. They thank you for your continued support. Again, the 8-pin tap bowling tournament, which is the 11th annual, will be held Sunday, January 12th at the Phoenix Center with shifts at 11 and 2.
Hi, my name is Liz Perkins, RCHS co-principal. Although teens and young adults are becoming more independent, you still serve an important role in keeping them safe and healthy. Most addictions start in adolescence, a critical part of brain development. Young people need to know from you and our community how to make the right choice not to use substances. Get tools and tips at the Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County's website.
When you're on the road and you're driving a car from Sleepy Hollow. Oh, Sleepy Hollow. We'll take care of you. Come on over to Sleepy Hollow. Oh, Sleepy Hollow. We'll take care of you. Sleepy Hollow.
Barroquois.
For today, retirement, and every moment in between,
Doing what you love is an investment worth keeping. Capital Wealth Advisor Group knows this. We take a personalized approach to understand your life and your wealth, helping you plan for the short term, long term, or whatever your terms may be. Wealth care for you and your family. Capital Wealth Advisor Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. Ameriprise Financial cannot guarantee future financial results.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Mike Siss is our guest, a lieutenant with the Richland County Sheriff's Department, and we're talking about the canine units and how valuable they are here in our community. Wanted to switch gears a little bit, and of course there's a story making not only Wisconsin news, but national news as well, and that's the manhunt from New Lisbon, which is kind of in your old stomping grounds there a little bit. Yeah. But certainly people have been following that as well, and I presume that they've used every resource they can use in that area, haven't they, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know much about it, just from what I know being in the police, you know, law enforcement world, but I think this day and age, we're really blessed to have all the electronic communications that we have, social media and all that, getting pictures out quickly, communicating, updating press releases, stuff like that. That's what's going to help find these people and bring them in and, you know, put them where they need to be in jail or wherever. I think also I saw in the most recent one from New Lisbon that the FBI is involved, the U.S. Marshals. They've got specialized units that this is what they do, you know, manhunts, search for people with warrants. So I don't think you can get anybody better to be looking for these people. So, I mean, that's great resources to have. I know that we usually reach out to agencies that are smaller, like the New Lisbon Police Department, and just offer services. That's kind of what we can do to help. And it's really nice to see a lot of the local agencies do that, especially when you need services. You pool your resources together. You know, some agency may have a cool camera or a drone or a thermal imaging camera or something like that that they can offer to use. So, you know, you throw it out there. If you need help, we're here. Obviously, at that point, you understand that that agency is probably swamped with what they need to do. So, it's just communication, getting it out there, putting pictures out there, updating the last known locations, and then also using technology and equipment to try to locate these people.
I was curious about that because, you know, being in the media, and I'm not saying that I want to just overstep my bounds, you know, but it just seems like they've been pretty close to the vest on a lot of the information. We just found out today about the relationship between the alleged shooter and the victims. Yeah. And they haven't said a lot about things like that. So I'm not sure if they're worried about it, you know, affecting the case, Mike, or what?
Yeah,
the case
I think as a law enforcement agency, when you have a high profile case like this, you try to keep a lot of the information close to yourself for several reasons. One of them being you don't want misinformation out there. It seems like someone will hear or take a snippet of a statement and they may run with that. And that can lead to tips that you're receiving that you're not looking for. Also, I think that you just want everything triple, quadruple vetted before you release it. Because as a law enforcement agency, you can get a black eye pretty quickly with releasing information that's false. Even though you could have the best intent in the world and trying to notify the public and inform the public, it's just, I think, being a chief or a sheriff or a leader of your agency, you're just very careful on what you put out and when. I don't think that any of these agencies try to withhold information unless it's strategic to what they're trying to accomplish. So you don't always want to give out all the information, you know. I mean, especially once you do find this person, if you want to interview them, and there may be information you've never released that they may give up, and it can all help your case.
Sure.
So
I'm sure all your departments are connected, and I think about the Jakubowski case, which wound up of all places in Richland County. I mean, you were on the force at that time.
I was, I sat in a car for like 13 hours all night just watching, making sure that, you know, nobody was leaving the area. And again, we utilized the FBI. They came up here real quickly and kind of took over the scene, and we got that safely taken care of, which is the ultimate goal in any situation. So, yeah, it's interesting where these people can end up. And it's just, you know, I think yesterday I was working and I heard on the radio we had someone report that this guy was in Richland Center, right? You get a lot of tips that we need to check out, and luckily it, you know, it wasn't this person, or I guess unluckily we would have liked to take him into custody, but but yeah, so you never really know where they're going to end up. And that's why we need to stay at the top of our training, because it could always happen to us in our community. It's not that far away.
No, it's not. I remember that morning being here, and your department notified us that he had been apprehended. Yeah. And at the time, and we had caller ID, and all of a sudden, the phone popped up. It said CNN, and then it was CBS, and then NBC. They were all calling to confirm, because we were the nearest media outlet, you know.
And that was a high-profile one, too.
It was, and they were like, can you confirm that they just found Jakubowski? Yeah. Yes. And they hung up. I mean, they were just, everybody was trying to get the scoop and be the first one to announce it.
So. Yeah, and honestly, it's a lot of these people can be dangerous. So I think it's uneasy feeling for a lot of citizens in the area knowing that these people might be out there. So I understand when people are really calling and trying to confirm that we have them in custody so they can rest easy a little bit.
Absolutely. With that case, did you use dogs with that case?
We utilized the dogs briefly the next morning. We had located some of the stolen guns that he had, but there were only like half of them there. So we were attempting to locate more of them with an article search in the area, and we didn't locate any. But that was more of a situation where we knew he was armed. And we treat our canines, you know, as deputies of the department. So we're never going to send a canine into a dangerous situation where they may be harmed with weapons. So we've got other equipment for that, armored vehicles, drones, stuff like that. So we utilize those in that scenario.
My son-in-law handles a dog in Bayfield or in that area. Yep. But he's told me stories kind of like what you said. Early, sometimes just having the dog, he's had suspects say, you know, don't let that dog out. Whatever you do, don't let the dog out.
Right.
And that's for an officer, I'm guessing that's very valuable.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that sold my wife when I was initially offered the position, is we live in a rural community where we may only have two or three people on at night. Right. And at the time I worked nights. And if you get into a situation, say on a traffic stop, your backup may be 20 minutes away. So it's that confidence of having that partner that is in your back seat. You have a button that pops the door open and he's coming to help you. You know, so I mean, that's it's a nice, easy feeling. And obviously, by all means, our last resort is to apprehend someone. We don't want to hurt people. We just want to take people into custody safely. And like you said, you know, your son-in-law, he lives in a little bit of a different community down there. So I'm sure he utilizes the dog a little differently than we do. But a lot of times it's just that threat of it. You give your announcements and people are like, all right, gig's up. I'm not getting bit by a dog. And they come out and they comply. And in Rambo's career, we never had an apprehension. We had a couple that were close, and then we would give our announcements and the people gave up, which is exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm. If the person like runs, then I guess everything's a go, right? The dog's going to take off and chase him.
Yeah, so it depends on a lot of things, you know, severity of the crime and the risk to the public if that person gets away and stuff like that. So we have a lot of things that we have to be processing at the moment, right? Just the person fleeing doesn't necessarily give us the opportunity to release the dog. If we have the dog out and we've been giving the commands and, you know, it's a serious situation, then yeah, it's a moving target now. So the dog will get released. But yeah, it's very important to train our officers just as much as it is our dogs, because it's a lot of liability there. I mean, you've got an animal that can, you know, can hurt someone. They're not trained to, but we've got to have bright handlers who are well-trained, and they can make those split-second decisions on when to release that canine. Because once it's gone, it's hard to call back, you know. If you've ever worked with any dogs, sometimes they don't listen to you, right? So you try to work that out of them. You try to train that out of them. But yeah, it's...
So legally, if a dog bites someone, do they ever threat to sue you? Like, I'll sue you. Your dog bit me.
Oh, absolutely. Luckily, the county has insurance. We insure all the dogs for the county. But yeah, I think I went to a training probably a couple years ago where they said you should just expect a lawsuit if your canine bites someone. Now, they have the opportunity to sue you. It doesn't mean they're going to win, right? I mean, you look at the totality of circumstances and what was happening, and were they given the opportunity to give up, and did the dog do what it was trained to do, and was it certified, and is it up to date on everything? And so there's a lot more that goes into it, but I think in this day and age, no matter what you do, you have the opportunity to be sued by someone. So in law enforcement, it's ever present. You know, we have representation obviously through the WPPA. And that's, yeah, it's always there. So it's a lot of liability handling a dog. You're trusted with a very expensive, a very important piece of equipment. And we like to train our guys and make sure that they're up to date and ready to handle that and take on that task.
And fundraisers like the one coming up certainly help that. I know you get out in the community and do a lot of fun events, too, for kids. And
yeah.
And fishing events and all kinds of things during the year, Mike.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier, one of our big goals with our sheriff's office, and I know the police department, too, is just community policing. And what that is involving the community with our departments and getting to know people and building that trust with our community. So we do things like Shop with a Cop, which we just did during the Christmas season. Cops with Bobbers. I know that's something that Officer Wilson over at the school kind of created, where he takes some kids fishing and stuff like that. And then we have National Night Out every year, which is a bunch of people are involved. The fire department, EMS. We have Partners for Prevention. It's just a great time to get out and involve the public. And that's kind of what we wanted to do with this Nine Pin Tap fundraiser, is have it locally, have an opportunity for kids to come out. We will be doing demonstrations there from both county canines. Greg and Amy are allowing us to bring the dogs into the bowling alley, which is great. Just get everybody involved. Come and have a good time. It's not all about the fundraising and the money. I mean, obviously that's something that we'd like to accomplish, but it's more so just getting people to know who our handlers are, to meet our dogs, to meet the people who are volunteering there, and come in and say hi and have a good time.
Do the dogs like the social situations like that?
It depends. It depends which dog. They all have their personalities. Rambo loved it. I mean, he was a social dog. He loved the attention. He loved being out. Other dogs are a little bit different, you know, I mean, they just may not really care, or I don't think any dogs don't like it. Sometimes it's more the environment. It'll be interesting to see how the dogs do in a bowling alley that's kind of loud, and you know, you've got the pins crashing and you've got the lights. So that's all just environmental stuff that you have to overcome. But I think the dogs like it. I mean, if you've ever owned a canine or a dog or any animal, a lot of them just like the attention, you know, they like to be seen and do their job. The one thing that we do usually ask is not for people to pet the dogs. Obviously, we have to understand, or they have to understand, that they're working dogs, and you know, you can never really tell what's going to happen in a situation, especially with large crowds and stuff like that. But I do think the dogs enjoy showing what cool things they can do.
It's amazing. They're amazing animals. How they can switch off and on from non-working to working in an instant, can't
yep.
they?
Yep. It's all ritual based. And we learned this when we went to the initial training, that when you get out a certain piece of equipment, say a collar, a leash, maybe a harness, and then you give a certain command with that, the dog knows what it's doing. Right? So the dog is not always in go mode or work mode, right? I would pull Rambo out at certain scenes or something like that, and he would kind of just be calm, like we're getting out maybe to go to the bathroom or something. And then you get that collar out that he knows is his tracking collar, and you just see him flip a switch. And the same thing with your commands, like before an apprehension, you start giving your commands, your dog remembers that. He remembers that ritual that you're doing, and now he knows what he's going to be asked to do. So it's incredible. I've learned so much, and it's awesome to watch your dog succeed. And when they have a breakthrough, they learn something new or they do something really well, It's just awesome to watch.
Dogs in general, you talk about a dog that's not trained, but would protect their owners and things like that. And I'm guessing it's similar in this situation, too, where they're there to protect you as well, aren't they?
Yep, yep. And that's one of the aspects of what they're trained to do is to protect their handler protection. The kind of I mentioned earlier, we have door poppers for our squads, and we train the dogs to find you, right? So we don't want it to be where they jump out of the car and they're looking to bite right away. We want that canine to locate its handler and then wait for a command, right? That can't all the time happen. Say I'm out on a traffic stop and someone attacks me and I hit that door popper, that dog is trained then to assess the situation and act accordingly. So, yeah, I mean, it was a big plus. When I got my canine, you just had that extra feeling of comfort having that dog with you as backup. And, yeah.
So you just have a little button that you push that you carry with you.
Yep, there's a button that's attached to usually our belts or our vest, and that's links to the door in the back of the vehicle where the canine is located. And once you pop it and hold it down, that door flings open and that dog comes out. And again, that's another cost when you talk about not only purchasing the canine, doing the training, you also have to set up a squad that is specific for a canine. So you've got to get a kennel insert in it. You've got to get a system that pops the door. And then you also have a heat sensor in there that can make sure that your dog isn't in there if the air conditioner fails or the windows aren't down. So those are all additional costs.
And regular checkups and, shots and all those kind of things.
Yep. So as I mentioned before, Pine River Vet has been great. They have donated so much, and Shireman's prior to that, and they've donated so much. But, yeah, they send us a little card in the mail just like anything else and say, canine's ready for a checkup, and we bring them in, and they make sure all their rabies and distemper shots are good. And, if you have any concerns, like anything small, like, my dog doesn't seem to be eating well today or whatever, they're more than happy to check that out. And they work really well with us. We could not appreciate them anymore. They're just great. And then again, like I said, the people that donate the food, Wyoming Saddle Company, I know Ace has reached out and said, Chet's Feed and Seed. There are several people that do that. And imagine these dogs, Rambo weighed 90 pounds toward the end of his career, and they eat like a 50-pound bag of dog food a month.
Wow.
And it's high-quality food. It's expensive. So we couldn't appreciate it any more of these people donating to us. We wouldn't be able to have these programs had we not had such a generous community. So that's the point I want to get across today is everybody has been so generous in the community. We're lucky to live in a place like this where people are so generous in donating. So we thank them all.
And if someone is listening and they'd like to just say, well, I'm not going to be a part of the bowling event, but how could they donate to the cause?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that. So I think I mentioned before, so we're doing lane sponsorships. And what that is, it's $250. You can sponsor a lane for a local business. We'll get your something up with your logo on it. We'll put it on the back of the T-shirt and stuff like that. We'll give you shout outs for thank yous. If you can't make it to the bowling tournament and you want to sponsor a team, local businesses or area people can reach out and put down the $100 and say, hey, I want to sponsor a team in my name. We can find people to be on that. Or just anytime you can come by the sheriff's office or the police department and say, hey, I would like to make a donation to the canine unit. They will get you in the right place, either myself or one of our people that would take that. And we can put it in the canine fund from there.
Are you going to be going out to, will you officers be going out to schools here on a regular basis then too? Or?
Yeah. So we go out to schools frequently. We usually try to get to the schools for drug searches to make sure that there's no drugs there once, twice, three times a year. And then we also do several demos there where we take them in, let the kids see. I know every year I teach Counteract at Ithaca School, and usually the last day we have like a family night. I used to bring Rambo in for a demo. This year I'll have to get one of the other canines. But yeah, people love to see that. We do it for 4-H programs. We've done it for church groups. We've done it here in town at like second, third grade. Sometimes they're reading a book involving a canine. And it's the coolest thing to them to come in and see the real thing, right? So, and we've got like little like playing cards with us on it, and Rambo and the other canines that we can hand out. We've also got the stuffed dogs for a fundraiser and all those types of things. So the kids love that. They ask some really funny questions. Sometimes I'm still caught off guard by it. Even after 8 years of doing it, you'll get some real doozies. But yeah, it's great. I loved doing it. That was probably my favorite, to go in and demonstrate for the kids, and their eyes just get huge when you walk in with a canine. And it's cool. I mean, they get to see, usually we'll put out like a hide that we can have the canine find in front of them, and they're just blown away by that.
Ah, so, what's the most common question then, generally?
Oh, brother. Well, usually you get with the kids, you usually get, I have a dog and it's a poodle, you know, like, it's like, oh, thank you. Does anybody have any questions? A lot of times you get, how old are they? How much do they weigh? Where are they from? You know, because usually we have dogs shipped over from Europe. Rambo is from Slovakia. I think Aaron's from Poland. You know, in Europe they have big breeding programs, and then the local agencies purchase them over here. But you get all sorts of questions. The questions you don't want to get are, my daddy got arrested by you once, or my mom got a ticket. It's like, all right, let's move on.
Okay, but moving right
along.
Yeah,
you try to say, any canine-specific questions, please. But no, they're great. The kids love it, and it's great.
Typically, what breed of dogs do make good canine officers?
Yeah, so I mean, and if you look at historically, I think it's kind of changed. I think back in the day, it used to be a lot of Dobermans and stuff like Rottweilers and stuff like that. The kinds of canines that we usually get, and the most common ones that you see, are either German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, or a mix of the two. You also see a lot of Labs. Those are more single-purpose dogs, though. So the reason that they like the Malinois and the Shepherds is because they have that big jaw, right? They have that for the apprehension. They're very strong dogs, and they're very smart. The Shepherds are very smart, and the Malinois are very athletic. So they like to mix the two and get the best of both worlds. But when I was down at canine training in Indiana, we had a guy from Texas that had a rescued pit bull. I've seen Cocker Spaniels. I've seen, the Department of Defense had like a, I don't even know what to call it. It was a long haired black dog. I don't know what breed it was, but you can use about any dog for scent detection. They all have great noses. It's when you want to more specify into like your apprehension and stuff is when you start choosing more of your German Shepherds and stuff.
Awesome. Well, people can learn more about it. And again, the maybe recap the event, Mike, and when it's going to happen.
So it's a canine nine-pin tap fundraiser. It's going to be at the Phoenix Center February 23rd at 11 a.m. We would prefer if you sign up in advance, and you can do that by going to our Sheriff's Department website. You can find this poster on there, and it's got my contact info. So you can either reach out to me via my cell phone or an email, or you can just call the sheriff's office and just say, hey, I want to sign up for your fundraiser, and they'll get you to the right person. Again, it's $100 per four-person team to enter, so $25 per person. There will be payouts for the top teams and the top series, and we're going to have some raffles. We're going to have a lot of cool prizes. I know we're reaching out to local like sports teams for some tickets. I think Officer Deneen just said that he had four tickets to the Milwaukee Admirals, the hockey team. I know Vortex Optics is usually a good sponsor, whether it be a scope or binoculars or whatever. So there'll be a lot of bucket prizes, some 50-50 raffles, stuff like that. So just come have a good time. And we hope to see everyone there. With that too, if there's any businesses that want to donate, please reach out to us. Let us know what you'd like. And it can be, as you know, something very small, or if you want to sponsor a lane, that would be great as well.
Here's to a good and safe 2025. As you look ahead, the department, anything new, any new officers coming in or anything like that?
Yeah, so we actually just hired a new officer, Officer Haugen. He worked at the Muscadet Police Department. We just hired him on full time. I think his first day was like the 5th.
A daycare graduate.
Yeah. So he's now working with us. We're glad to have him. He seems to do very well. I think the biggest thing for us is just maintaining the people we have. We've got a lot of great deputies that work for us. And, you know, it's for a while there, it was really hard to stay full staffed. And I think we all kind of pat ourselves on the back for being full staffed for quite a while. I mean, it's been a long time that we've had the same guys. So hopefully they're happy there. And as far as 2025, just look forward to more community events. And hopefully a quiet one. We don't have any big, you know, things that go on like New Lisbon did, and everybody stays safe, and that's our main goal.
Quiet and safe.
Quiet that and safe.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for all you do, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Phil.
Lieutenant Mike Sizz joining us from the Richland County Sheriff's Department on today's morning show.